Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have six rounds in the magazine. Round number one, a Navy veteran. You might have heard of him. He was also the publisher of Hustler. Larry Flint has passed away. His legacy isn't all titties and buttholes, folks. We're going to tell you about some of the other stuff that he did. Round number two, archaeologists have found a Roman soldier's pay stub, and it's safe to say some things in the military have always been the same, and they will stay that way until the end of time. Round number three, we're going to give out some fire watch, maybe a little bomb watch, because there are some explosives missing at 29 Palms. Not a big deal, though, in my opinion. It's just C4. You need a lot of shit to make C4 work. Round number four, women arrive at MCRD for a historic co-ed training, and we've got some live audio of what's going on over there. Don't worry, folks. It's not actually Hinder, and we're going to give you some updates on the new rules for new moms in the military. Round number five. Why, hello, fellow cool teens. The U.S. ambassador to Vietnam is here to kick off your Friday with a totally rad rap song for the Lunar New Year. And it is, in Kate's word, it's litty, folks. It's a little litty. Round number six, it's no secret that U.S. presidents like to golf. Heck, we like taking a little putting green to the Oval Office if we were there. But we've got a serpentine draft for the best activities for presidents to do while they relax, except for golf. And I think we also said sucking dick was also out, right?
Yeah, that's not allowed.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can.
You can, but you
could. That's what you want to do. It's your mouth and their dick, so whatever you want to do there is totally fine with us.
Listen.
And it's totally fine if you want to eat some delicious snacks from our friends at Trifecta Nutrition. Trifecta Nutrition will send you all kinds of stuff straight to your house so you can do your little meal prepping easier. They have healthy and delicious food for you. It's organic produce. It's gluten-free. They have all kinds of stuff for you. It's meat that the animal welfare is level 5, the highest possible, so they're not having these chickens that are all fucked up and walking around and waddling and walking in their own shit all the time. Nope, they don't have that. They have healthy vegan, paleo, keto, whatever diet you want to do, they have it for you. Trifecta also has an app to track your meals and healthy fitness. I just burped into the microphone. That's rude. That was really rude. Sorry about that. And of course, you get your Trifecta meals. You can get one or two a day. Right now, you're going to get 40% off with the meal prep with the promo code ZERO. Go to TrifectaNutrition.com/zero for this exclusive offer. You're going to love this stuff. It actually is delicious. If you're like a single person living in the barracks and you're tired of just going down to the local chow hall and getting your food there, get this. You can throw it in your little mini fridge and then throw it into a microwave, and it's barracks compliant. You don't even have to use a hot plate, which is a big benefit. You could probably even use an air fryer. I bet you could use an air fryer to warm these things up. Use an air fryer for anything.
Absolutely anything, and they all taste delicious coming out of there.
You could probably brush your teeth with an air fryer.
More or less, you could, yes. Like,
do whatever you want. It's totally fine. You can't buy an air fryer at Trifecta, but you can find the food that'll go inside it at TrifectaNutrition.com/zero. Let's get started. All right, so let's get going with the show today. Yesterday, I'm still in the full process of the whole moving thing. So one of the things that's bullshit about moving to a house is when they take the refrigerator. I think that's bullshit. Mm. The refrigerator should be a part of the house. It should be like, you don't take the toilet when you leave. You don't take a sink. You shouldn't be able to take the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's an essential of a home, much like a toilet is. So I
anything
that
weighs over 200 pounds, I think, has to stay in the home.
Okay. All right. Well,
I agree. Yeah, that's probably one of the best things about renting. One of the only good things about renting is that you don't have to move the fridge, the washer, the dryer. Ugh. Mm.
Well, yesterday I was going to get a new refrigerator because I wanted to get everything in order I possibly can and have it delivered in like a month when I move into the new house. So I wanted to go take advantage of the President's Day sales, first of all, that are going on, get a little bit of a discount. And yesterday I go in there And you know, for like a stainless steel French door refrigerator, you're going to pay like around $2,000 for it. Anytime I spend around $2,000 on anything, I better get some good service.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yeah.
You're spending $2,000 on something, you better get some good damn service. I walk into this big box home store and I'm in the appliance section for like 15 or 20 minutes. I'm like looking for people, actively walking around looking. I asked 3 or 4 different people that worked in the store where the appliance person was. They're like, oh, I don't know. They should be back in just a minute. Didn't try to call anybody. Didn't use the intercom. I'm like finally getting fucking pissed sitting in there. And he comes up and the dude finally comes up. He's like, oh, can I help you? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Can you? Can you? I just want to light it. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Taking a shit?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have another gear guard out here guarding your fucking appliance computer? I need you to sign on to your little computer, get the hose that goes straight into the little thing so I can use the door side ice maker, put that in there, get that going, and then, wouldn't you know it, I waited all this time because they had one of those fancy-ass TVs on sale, or the refrigerator with the TV on the door, and it was on sale for $1,600, so I was hanging out for that deal because it was like almost $1,000 off.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there telling him I want it. He finally pulls it up and he's like, you know what? We actually don't have this one in stock and we were not going to have it in stock until May. Would you still like it? Who the fuck is waiting for a refrigerator for 3 months?
My goodness.
Clearly, if I'm here, I need it relatively soon. Maybe 2 weeks I can wait, 3 weeks. But no one says, you know what we need to do today? We need to go buy that refrigerator we're going to need 3-4 months from now. That's what we need to do. No one's doing that. And by the way, I hate nothing more than when I go to one of those stores and you look like you're inconveniencing the employee by asking them a question. Like, I don't know. Like, your job, your sole job is to be there to service the customers. So please don't act like I'm putting you out by asking you a question.
And same thing happened when I was going to look for different type of tiles yesterday. We go brand new tile store and like a hardwood floor store. We go in there. This thing has only been open for like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. I go in there. I ask the person. I'm like, okay, so I know I have to get this much square footage to cover, but what are some of the other things that I need that I might not be thinking of, like the underlays and things like that? And the guy's like, I don't know, man. You're gonna have to talk to one of the installers. And I was like, well, where are those at? And he's like, I'm not sure. And I said, well, if this one's not in stock and you don't have enough, how long does it take to get here? He's like, I don't know, anywhere from 5 days to 6 months. 5 days to 6 months?
You can't give
That's
me that.
That's a pretty big window.
You can't give me that 5 days to 6 months. I can't plan with that.
Who looks at tile and says, yeah, I want that tile, willing to wait half a year for it?
It's that good. It's that good.
Fucking ridiculous. That makes me wish I was just involved with a little bit of Hustler. You don't have that in the titty business.
That's true. But
you really don't.
Alas.
The sex biz is pretty instant gratification. I'll tell you that much. Nobody's waiting around on the lot for a little nipple action.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's just hop into round number one. Get straight into the nipple action because it is Larry Flint. He passed away. Larry Flint, before we get into it, Larry Flint, how I grew up, Southern Baptist, he was the epitome of evil.
Oh, I can imagine so.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
You, not just Playboy level evil, but you're talking Hustler. They might show like the inside of the vagina in Hustler. You might see like the actual flaps.
That's like in American Pie when Jim's dad sits him down and he starts explaining the different magazines and how some of them are a little more detailed, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Hustler. Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite things every year living in New York City is Fleet Week. And many times I've had to go somewhere where I've taken a cab or whatever past the Hustler Club, which is on the West Side Highway, pretty much. It's huge. You can't miss it. And every year during Fleet Week, you go by, and it doesn't matter if there's been nights where I was leaving other bars and happened to go by it at like 2-3 in the morning. Huge just clumps of sailors in their whites. I don't know what those uniforms are called.
Yeah, dress whites. Yeah,
dress whites just hanging out outside the Hustler Club. Or you see them lost in the city, and I'm like, where are you headed? Do you know how to get to the Hustler Club? Like, just, all right, head that way. Which makes sense to me now. I didn't realize.
I've been inside the Hustler Club.
Of course you have.
How is it?
It was fantastic. So one night when I was doing presidential security, me and my buddy Doc were up there, and I was single at the time, and so was he, and it was right when my reenlistment bonus had hit.
We
had went out to celebrate and have some drinks. We're at this place, and I think Doc still had his Secret Service pin on. And somebody said, well, what are you guys doing here? And we're like, oh, we're presidential security. We're here, but we're getting ready to leave. We're almost done. He's like, oh, sweet. And he tells the bartender, anything these guys want for the whole night, put it on my tab and I'll take care of it. And so we start drinking and hanging out. And he's like, you guys want to go have a good time? And we're like, sure. And the guy goes, he looks at Doc and he's like, what kind of girls do you like? Do you like nice girls, kind of slutty, or real slutty? And Doc goes, kind of slutty, I guess. And so he took us to the Hustler Club, and there's like all kinds of girls in there. And I am like looking around like, what the fuck is happening with my life? Like they're bringing in all kinds of bottles of champagne. It's like, we don't fit in. And then after about an hour or two, we left and went to McDonald's.
Yeah. I'm surprised the story didn't lead with, I blew my entire reenlistment bonus.
No, I didn't have to spend any money. It was awesome.
Yeah, I thought Cons were going to say, I'm surprised the story didn't end with, and then I got diarrhea and blew out the toilets at the Hustler Club. I thought that was the way it was going to go, honestly.
That's also possible.
When they're asking you if you want, having chicken wings at a strip club is a bizarre move anyways.
Yeah.
Right?
Down in Philly, they're like it's like funeral buffet of like roast beef, Caesar salad, like all this stuff. You're like, okay.
Pancakes and bacon.
Yeah, those little butter balls, they're always a little too frozen, but some bread.
Listen, if you eat from a buffet at a gentleman's club, that's on you, okay? You just accept any and all risk when
except
you load up that plate.
Except for in Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, I don't even consider – that's in its own world completely. So I wouldn't put that in the same
Las Vegas
universe.
Is the big-time exception to the buffet rule.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because anywhere else you go, buffet is like poor people shit.
Yeah, Golden Corral, no thanks. Vegas buffet, hey, it's delicious. Got to check it out.
I feel like my whole life is buffets. What are you guys talking about?
Well, really?
Funerals, weddings, big life events, buffets.
Funerals?
Funerals and weddings. You don't have sit-down dinners?
Oh, my God. What?
Funeral buffet.
That's almost every funeral of my life has a big buffet afterwards. Yeah.
What?
Oh, my God. What?
You go to some poor funerals.
Yeah, it's my family concert. yeah.
Well, I mean, when you have like 48 cousins,
yeah, that's true.
Like you can't, somebody's going to die every now and then. You can't be pulling out the
Yeah, the funeral
the
budget
the,
isn't exactly
you.
High. Yeah.
You can't
thank
be
you.
Having beef bourguignon like every time somebody dies when there's that many people.
Well, Larry Flint had a big buffet on the table of life, you could say, everyone.
And a buffet of tits.
The controversial publisher who founded Hustler died at the age of 78 this week. His daughter, Teresa Flint, confirmed that she was with her father alongside his wife when he died at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. Flint launched Hustler in the 1970s as a print extension of his adult club of the same name, which featured nude hostesses, and he became the target of critics who called the magazine obscene. And wasn't it like somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, that he started this club and started this magazine?
Yeah. I think it goes on to say in Georgia.
Well, Flint's legal battles over the content of his magazine are considered landmark free speech cases. Mm-hmm. He fiercely defended his right to publish amid prosecution and threats against his life. And those threats, very real. He was shot in 1978 as he left the Gwinnett County Courthouse in Georgia, where he was facing trial on charges of distributing those obscene materials. That's where he was shot, but it was the boonies of Ohio, I believe, is where everything got started after he got out of the military. The attack paralyzed him from the waist down, and the judge declared a mistrial. Joseph Paul Franklin, a serial killer and proclaimed white supremacist, claimed that he shot Flint, and lawyer Gene Reeves, although the shooter was never identified or convicted. The Reverend Jerry Falwell famously sued Flint in 83 after Hustler published a satirical ad claiming that he had a drunken, incestuous relationship with his mom in an outhouse. The parody was modeled after a real ad campaign for Campari, which included interviews with celebrities. In what is considered a historic First Amendment case, Flint appealed all the way to the Supreme Court and won. And he usually did so with flair. He would enter the courthouse in all sorts of... The man made a scene in everything he did. The justices agreed in a unanimous ruling that parodies of public figures are considered protected forms of free speech and that Falwell could not seek damages for emotional distress. Probably something that protects Barstool from time to time, to be
all
quite
all the time. That's the one we use. That is exactly what we cite whenever, like, the Roger Goodell clown face. Like, yes. That is exactly what you get to use because of the parody law.
And fun fact, like, and that's probably one of the reasons the Jerry Falwell thing, because he was so huge in the Bible Belt and the religious community, Jerry Falwell, it's probably one of the reasons you thought he was the devil growing up, chaps. That was, like, had such a huge impact.
Oh, for sure, because Falwell was, like, basically a god amongst men in the Southern Baptist world.
Yeah, so this was a huge deal. Fun fact that not a lot of people know, though, Larry Flint and Jerry Falwell actually became friends later in life. Whenever Falwell was in Los Angeles, they would meet up and hang out. They exchanged Christmas cards every year. And Flint said they had philosophical discussions. Falwell would show off pictures of his grandchildren to Flint. And they always disagreed about politics. They disagreed about all sorts of things. They had that huge trial, all that stuff. But they somehow became friends in the end.
And it's kind of cool that now there's like a Venn diagram of Jerry Falwell Jr. because he rips cocaine and fucks prostitutes.
Exactly.
So, full. This is a little bit of a crossover.
Full circle. And the Flint's corporate empire had humble roots. In the 60s, it was Dayton, Ohio, Go Dayton Flyers, where his mom worked, where he started the chain of adult clubs he called Hustler. The magazine initially began just as a newsletter for his clubs, but it grew in popularity.
Wait, why did we just say Go Dayton Flyers? What was your connection there?
Because it was,
that was not expected.
It was a bar in Dayton where he started it.
I have a cousin that went to... what's that college in Dayton, Ohio? The Flyers, the Dayton Flyers.
Yeah, you're
University
right,
of Dayton.
Yeah, University. I have a cousin that went to
That's where my dad went to school.
I just didn't expect Kate to throw it because Dayton Flyers are one of the teams that are like a smaller school that usually does pretty well in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I just didn't expect Kate to be a big Dayton Flyers.
Big Dayton Flyers. No. One of our coworkers.
Katie Sports strikes again.
One of our coworkers, Dukes, went to college with my cousin. They were in the frat together. And so I'm always like, yo, go Dayton Flyers when I see Dukes in the office. Anyway,
he's a goofy looking fella, Dukes is.
He's a delight.
He's a nice kid.
But Flint, he started as a newsletter, kind of a very Dave Portnoy-ish story. Dave started his as like hot college girls in small booths around.
Started
Boston.
Even before that. It wasn't even girls. It was just gambling and fantasy sports.
Yeah, and then spread much faster with fancy ladies on the cover.
That usually helps.
Yeah, but just started as a small, like, kind of print rag that was getting put around town, grew in notoriety, and then just kind of blew up, especially when he published nude photos of former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis taken by paparazzi. Mm-hmm. And again, the man wasn't perfect. He definitely did some things that, I don't know. But his life was the subject of films and books, included the 1996 biopic The People vs. Larry Flint with Woody Harrelson. And that that movie.
A what?
Hmm?
A biopic?
Oh, a biopic. It was about science. It was a biopic. Fuck me.
That's fine.
Good old biopics. I love biopics.
I have a surprise for Cons because I pulled up one of these erotic letters that Larry Flint is famous for. So we're going to have Cons. I'm about to put it in the sheet where Kate was reading. I just put in a little snippet of the letter, Cons. Why don't you take that and do a little dramatic reading of it?
I don't see it. I don't have the sheet open.
Yes, you do.
I can't find it. I'm looking.
I'll put it in bold.
Oh, there it is.
Got it. All right, here we go.
We both have questioned the norm in this relationship because it exceeds all expectations.
I need some passion, Cons.
That is passion. It's sultry passion.
Okay.
Go on. We're all swirling our martinis.
Oh, man. Oh, what a joy it is to make love to each other passionately. What joy we take in discovering the pleasures of each other's bodies. Sex between you and I makes us feel alive. It lets the other know how much we cherish them. It's exciting and thrilling to know that we desire each other so much. This is a good line. Your kisses are like the breeze whispering over my lips. I might steal that one. Gentle, fluttering, soft. And on and on and on it goes.
No. Keep it going.
This is ridiculous.
Hey. Is this hazing?
At other times, they're demanding and stormy. And always, always equally passionate. I feel breathless. And yet so alive.
All right, Kate, your next paragraph.
It's magical to be with a man who feels the same as I. When we're on a picnic and need for each other becomes too intense, we just make love with abandon. When we're in the ocean kissing, I have no qualms about slipping in, you inside me and letting the waves take us to the brink of ecstasy. If we are driving somewhere and you're aroused, I want to pull over so I can pleasure you with my mouth. That's a beautiful letter. Yeah. It is beautiful.
All right, the next paragraph is mine.
Go ahead.
When I come, I want you to sense that urgency and take me. Bring me to the very depths of carnal pleasure. I love knowing that I'm a man, that I'm with a man I can masturbate in front of. Touch myself for both enjoyment and visual pleasure. One-sided, both sides. It's all good. I don't care what is normal for other people. I only know that I am connected to you, so one with you, that I want to make love every day. I need this. I need air to breathe or 8 hours of sleep each day. Insatiable lust, unparalleled desire. We have so much chemistry together that normal has been redefined.
I will say that that whole excerpt is actually not that ridiculous. It's pretty tame relative to some other things that could have been said, I think. Mm-hmm. And yes, I am 100% stealing your kisses are like the breeze of whispering over my lips.
I think we're going to find out Khan's actually wrote that and submitted it to Hustler a couple years ago. I think that was actually a him thing.
Anyways, Flint was in the Navy, right?
Yeah, Flint was in the Navy. Talking. So he was born in the 1940s, super, super fucking dirt poor in Kentucky. Like, he was born in the poorest county in the entire country. Wow. And so he said that the main industry there was jury duty. He liked to joke. His parents divorced when he was a boy. He peddled moonshine and whiskey, classic Kentucky. At age 15, so obviously not a lot of opportunity there. At age 15, he altered his birth certificate to join the Army, but he was released after a general troop reduction. So he joined the Navy at 17, lying about his age once again. He became a radar operator on the USS Enterprise. He was the operator on duty when the ship was assigned to recover John Glenn's space capsule. And he was honorably discharged in 1964. I believe he got married during this time, too. He married somebody when he was in the military. He was married 5 times, so no big deal.
That's something like the Wild Wild West we talk about. You could get away with murder back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't now. This is something like that, too. You would never get away with faking a birth certificate and joining at 15 now.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No shot. And no. That was so common, too, back in World War II.
Like, I mean, Woody Williams did it. Like, we had so many. We've interviewed several people. Robert Sweat, who recently passed away, did that as well.
Oh, yeah. But he knew he needed to get out of there. He wanted to start a new life, and he did. When he got out of the military, 21, he began working at a factory in Dayton, Ohio. Then he started doing those hustler clubs, and pretty crazy. The rest goes off from there. I looked up some other military connections that he had. Did you know Flint versus Rumsfeld, that was a court case, Donald Rumsfeld?
No. Yes, I remember hearing about that, yep.
Right, shortly after U.S. forces went to war with the Taliban in Afghanistan, Flint's magazine requested to have a reporter with U.S. ground troops, but the Pentagon said, you can do like humanitarian food drops and airstrikes, and we will totally give you access later to the boots on the ground, but they didn't. So Flint said he was unlawfully denied access to U.S. combat forces, and I agree with him there. He said how important it is to have boots and eyes, like reporter boots and eyes on the ground, actually out and about with combat forces to tell the people what's going on kind of thing. So that was a whole big thing. He lost. Flint lost that case and vowed to come back and do it again. Also, he was once wheeled into court in 1983 wearing an Army helmet. He appeared before federal judge Robert Takasugi and paid the second installment of his $10,000 a day fine for not revealing the source of an audio tape in a drug trafficking trial. He got wheeled in with an army helmet on and dumped bags of money all over the floor. So just a really interesting character.
Big time showman.
Yeah, big yes. time showman. And then finally, I don't know if a lot of people know this, and I was kind of hesitant to even put it in here, but Flint has shown that Task and Purpose covered this in 2017. Flint has shown that free speech has limits even for him. In 2003, Flint reportedly purchased a cachet of nude photographs taken of Army Private Jessica Lynch, the soldier captured by Iraqi forces during the Battle of Nasiriyah and rescued shortly after. And he purchased them to keep them out of public circulation for Lynch's sake. He said, Jessica Lynch is a good kid. She's not a hypocrite or out to fool anyone. She's a victim of the Bush administration, who's using her to justify the war in Iraq and force feed us a Joan of Arc. So he kind of went out of his way to protect her. I know if you want to hear more about him, there's a Twisted History. That's a history podcast at Barstool Sports hosted by Large and his wife, Anne. And they did one with Lisa Ann, the porn star who knew him personally and just raved about him, said he was like a really good dude. I know, very controversial guy, not perfect, but very, very interesting life story. No denying that.
No doubt about it. It's always funny to me to see like what you know cursory about somebody, and then you dive deeper into their life and see like, maybe they weren't what was like always projected of him. Because even in the media, it was always everything that he does is bad or perverted or gross. And there was some legit good things that he did in his life. Like, not mm-hmm. all, obviously. Like, I would imagine if you were Jacqueline Kennedy, you weren't thrilled that your nudes get dropped against your consent and that type of thing. But there was some good things that he did as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair right, winds and following seas, sailor.
Yeah. Old Larry Flint just cruising about the seas of heaven. Let's go with round number two. Roman soldiers pay stub. This one comes to us from Task and Purpose as well. A 1900-year-old scrap of papyrus. I think papyrus was the first type of paper that I knew what it was.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We all learned in Egypt. That's where they made the papyrus.
Oh, yeah. Egypt, they love their fucking papyrus. The papyrus proves that while warfare may change, the bureaucratic bullshit that comes with the military life does not. A payslip belonging to a Roman auxiliary soldier posted on Twitter back in March 2019 by archaeologist Joanne Ball shows the imperial grunt was left penniless immediately after getting paid once the military recouped expenses for food, equipment, clothes, and the like. As it turns out, getting screwed over by the green weenie is a time-honored tradition that dates back centuries. According to a translation available in the database of military inscriptions of papyri of early Roman Palestine, the payslip belonged to Gaius Messias, a Roman auxiliary soldier who likely served in Medassa, Israel, between 72 and 75 CE. What's CE?
I have no idea. Know.
Is that AD or like the period in between?
Also, I love that I read it as Gaius Messius, and you say Gaius Messias. I have no idea what it actually is, but
I like Gaius Messias just because it rhymes.
I like it too. I prefer it.
The document was translated using the excavation reports. Christopher Zeichman, the editor for the database, told the Task and Purpose via email. The receipt itself shows how much Gaius's hard-earned denarii, an ancient Roman currency, went back to the military. Here's a rough translation. The fourth consulate of the Imperator Vespinius Augustus accounts salary. Gaius Messias, son of Gaius, the tribe of Fabia from Beirut. I received a stipend of 50 denarii, out of which I barely paid money, 16 denarii. The food expenses he got. So his food was 20 denarii. His boots were 5. The leather strappings, don't forget those. Those are kind of like their boot bands, I think. They had 2 denarii for those. They had a linen tunic that you had to get. That's 7 denarii. They had the dress tunic as well. 16 from barley. You got food expenses, 20. By the time everything goes out, you're immediately broke. That's kind of like what happens at boot camp. Like, do you guys remember that? Like, so you, whenever you go to boot camp, you think, all right, so my base pay is going to be this. By the time I graduate 3 months of boot camp, I should have this. And then you look and you're like, wait a minute. I had to pay for my uniforms?
Yeah, what?
Like these? I had to pay for this shit?
Oh,
that
yeah.
should be given to you. The fact that they make you pay for your uniforms is bullshit.
Oh, it's crazy.
I agree with you. It's like you can't be in the military without these uniforms, so just issue it to me and call it a day, and you pick up the tab.
I don't have to – if I go work at Burger King, I don't have to pay for it. They give it to you.
Well, right, this, that's correct.
This reminded me – so his pay was 50 denarii, and if you do the tally, the 16 for the the 20 for food expenses, the boots, the blah, blah, blah. Like, he had, like, nothing left. It reminds me of, like – how working on the coal mines back in the day, you worked there, but then all your pay went back, like everything went back to, because the coal miners like owned the coal mine, owned the food store and then this and then that. And all your money ended up going back to them anyway. So you're kind of like an indentured servant to
Kate, was it real tough for you working in the coal mines?
Was it tough? I got the black lung pop.
I mean, she's from Pennsylvania. I bet she is throwing a little pick into some coal every now and then.
Probably. I've actually been on like many coal mine tours, and I'm kind of a coal mine expert, you guys. I've been down there once.
So. You recently went to a place that was still on fire all the time.
I did, Centralia, and that day I went down into a coal mine. So yes, I'm down.
Well, pregnant, which is very advisable.
That's neither here nor there.
I got the black lung, Mom. I know it's because that 7.5 months. Pregnant.
I was down in the mines when you were just a little. But it's pretty interesting to see, like, that they. It's so cool to me that they can still find these old slips and the pay stubs and the. You wonder, you're like, how did anyone keep track of anything before computers and phones? How the fuck did you keep track of one of the largest militaries in the world with ink and papyrus? You know what
just
I mean?
A didn't. Whole bunch
I'd
of papyrus.
Say, yeah, I would just say you didn't.
Yeah.
It's
by and large,
crazy.
You just didn't. Yeah.
And I think that this, like, you can make it up. Like, they're saying this is 50 denarii. I don't know that's true. Like, I think that sometimes people just say they're experts and they're translating it. Like, I saw this documentary that was people were going through, like, sarcophagi and all that, all these tombs, and they were looking at the letters on the wall of hieroglyphics, and they were reading it as they were going along. Like, you're just making that shit up.
That's not true, Jeff. That's not true. They know.
It goes back to what I was saying last week about quantum physics. Like, if you tell me a whole bunch of stuff, well, okay, I'm just going to have
to take your word. You guys sound so stupid right now.
Whatever, Kate. Look at this little piece of papyrus. It looks like a bunch of squiggly lines to me. So if you tell me it says what it says in this article, I got to just take you at your word. Sure.
I don't even believe it's that old. I think that's just the first page of the Bible where it has all those maps and stuff, and somebody just spilled some Kool-Aid on it. That's what it is. It's not actual artifacts. Just like the Dead Sea Scrolls. You're telling me that something stayed in a fucking flower pot for that long and didn't get messed up?
Yeah.
Please.
Malarkey.
Yeah.
Kate, prove to me how you know this is real.
Because of real archaeologists who have spent their entire lives in the last, like, hundreds
All
of years
right
studying
that,
this stuff.
You just sound like such a sheep, Kate.
They have carbon dating. They know how old shit is.
Carbon dating. Okay. What's carbon dating? Go ahead. Tell me, what's carbon dating?
We don't know what carbon dating is.
Take the atoms of carbon, and they are able to see how much it's been degraded over time, and they know that tells them, like, almost exactly how old something is.
And a nod to my other little project that I'm working on, Barstool Confessions. Carbon dating is one of the most varied resources in science. Like, you can have carbon dating that you take a rock and you do carbon dating. One person will say that this is 4.6 billion years old. One person will say it's 500 million years old. It's a very inaccurate science.
Okay, so that story by James Clark at Task and Purpose. Thank you, James.
We're just trying to keep James honest here. Basically what Chaps and I are saying is
what
just
are you doing this for?
Just because something is on the internet does not make it true.
That's exactly right.
Question everything.
Because I'll make stuff up. I'll write an article right now. I'll go find a piece of old, like, Krispy Kreme fucking napkin and say Jesus wiped his ass with it. And nobody can say boo about it. And it's really just chocolate frosting.
When we get DMs
wasn't
about
poop
this,
at all.
I'm just going to give them your guys' cell phone numbers. And they can take it up with you personally. Because we're going
to
get it.
I bet Jesus never had to, like, wipe. I bet he just took shits.
That was probably one of the perks of being the son of God.
Yeah, just solid poops all the way around.
This is unbelievable.
Clean poops left and right.
Nice taper like George Brett.
Seriously, I mean, how great is your life if you never have to worry about toilet paper?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say so. Maybe being crucified at the age of 33, maybe that's a good trade-off. For 33 years, I didn't have to worry about, you know, soiling myself.
What do you think the best pooper in the animal kingdom is?
People with colostomy bags are going to hate this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who, if you could poop like any animal, what animal would you poop like?
Oh, is it the wombat does the cubes?
Oh, yeah, the wombat does cubes mm-hmm. and just leaves it on rocks to let other wombats know it's in the area. And it's cubed, so it just has it sit just hanging out.
What about fish? Because it's like it's all water, it's clean.
No, you got to, then you're all mixed in with it. I still think it'd be hilarious to be an elephant. Like, even though it's not discreet, just dropping that 50-pound log right in somebody's lap would be, I mean, you go TikTok viral in a second. All right, let's move on to round number three. This one is going to be a little bit explosives missing from 29 Palms.
This one's have
what?
Oh, I was going to say, this one's not a long round. This will literally be like 2 seconds. But yes, but we talked about the missing Humvee. We talked about the guy sneaking on the airbase last week at mm-hmm. Andrews. And this week, I think it's just like 10 pounds of C4 missing from 29 Palms, I think.
Yeah, 10 pounds of C4 ain't shit.
No.
I think that's what it is. I just wrote that in because I heard you say it before the show. I've done no research on that, but you guys don't care about research anyway, so
We do. We just want to make sure that it's trustworthy research, unlike that farcical papyrus from the 17 CE. Mm. They made that date up. That's not even a real date.
Okay.
That's like a date from a movie. They probably got that from that Will Smith movies where he's walking around and eating dogs.
So what were you going to say?
I was going to say, Kate, let's go back to the previous round. Show me where on that sheet it says 16 denarii for barley money. Which line says 16 denarii for barley money?
You know, I just don't have the patience for it today.
She doesn't have the patience for it today, but I do want to talk about C4 because I think C4 is one of the most overrated explosives in the military arsenal.
Yes.
People think that it's so you could do whatever you want with C4. You could throw it on the ground. You could run it over with the Humvee. You could do whatever, and it's fine.
You could get out a newspaper and roll the C4 over the newspaper like Silly Putty and then copy the newspaper like you did when you were a little lad or a lass.
And in fact, you could set it on fire, and it doesn't even explode.
I think people think you just slap C4 to stuff, and it'll just explode in 10 seconds.
No, you have to have a blasting cap to go along with it.
Again, I don't know if it was C4. I don't know how many pounds. I don't know what. The article did not say, so we are just totally guessing.
That's fine. I mean, I used to, whenever we were, I don't know, statute limitations over. We used to, cut off pieces of C4, like with a grater, like we would cut it off and eat some of it on pizza.
I mean, that's interesting because, you know, it's not exactly tasty from what I've heard.
It is a little poisonous.
The platoon that I was with in Iraq used to get pissed because whenever you're doing dog handling, you have to have a reason for the dog to keep going. Like, imagine being out for several hours. The dog is constantly looking for something, and he never finds anything ever. It's essentially like playing hide-and-go-seek, and you never find the person. Like, after a while, you're just going to give up seeking. You're not going to seek with your whole heart. So occasionally, when you're doing, like, actual real-life missions, you'll have what's called the drop aid with you. So you'll take a little bit of a C4, or you'll take some time fuse, whatever, and you'll put that so the dog can come across it and find it, give his response, and then you could praise him so that they'll continue to work. I used to walk around with like a 4x4 square inch thing of C4 right in the middle of my vest, and I would drop it in different places to have so I could go. C4 is like not dangerous at all.
Interesting. Interesting tool that you would utilize it in such a way.
So science isn't real and C4 is not dangerous. We got that covered.
Listen, Linda, yeah. listen. Just because we are smarter than these people putting stories out on the interwebs.
I'll say it right now. Me and Cons are smarter than archaeologists.
Fair. That's
sorry. Except I'm not.
I am. I went to UTSF.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys forgot what happened at Bushwood Country Club, and you're just completely ignoring that, and that's not acceptable. Did you see what happened to that place? Destroyed.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, that was in the annals of golf history, the Bushwood is talked about to this day as a cautionary tale, and it really is sad and it was scary.
So let's
all right, let's move on to something a little bit different. We have round four. Co-ed training beginning at Marine Corps Recruit Depot, San Diego. The pictures there that were coming out, it looked like any other pickup day in the history of the Marine Corps to me.
Yeah, I think after all the fuss is over, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, I guess we could have done this a lot sooner. Really not that big a deal. Yeah. 60 female recruits have arrived at the Marine Corps all-male training site, where they'll complete boot camp in a co-ed company for the first time in the base's 100-year history. 450 men and women will spend the next 3 months training together there at the depot. It's literally right next to the San Diego airport. If you ever landed in San Diego, you can look over and see it. That was all men. All women got shipped off to Parris Island in South Carolina until now. Obviously, that stepped off the white buses onto the yellow footprints. Training began and nobody died. Everything continued. So far, they're okay. The Marine Corps has been directed by Congress to make both its entry-level training sites co-ed in the next 5 to 8 years.
I guess you got to change some things and build other.
It's going to take us 8 years to change to add a bathroom. So yeah. even though we're the fucking Marine Corps and we can like deploy anywhere in the world in 24 hours. Marine Corps Recruit Depot Parris Island has been training co-ed recruit companies for 2 years. Now recruits in San Diego are following the same model, with the female platoon being trained by women drill instructors. So
quick question for you three is, I have to imagine training in San Diego has to be so much more desirable than Parris Island, but you probably go to Parris Island and think you're tougher because the weather is so much better in San Diego than Parris Island. So if you go to Parris Island, you think like, oh, you didn't have it as tough as me? Because I'd imagine it's
the
like
age-old weather versus hills, because San Diego has the mountains and Parris. So it's like the age of it's just silly. But so there's that. We do have some audio coming out of the Recruit Depot in San Diego. Let's hear how it's going so far. Also, I just wanted to make a note. We talked about last week a story from Gina Harkins on military.com. She did a report about Marines who face career-ending consequences tied to pregnancy and motherhood, and there was a big hubbub about it. There was a lot of scuttlebutt and people angry online. So the Marine Corps is now extending the time new moms are exempt from fitness tests and body comp rules from 9 months to 12. So you have a year now after you have a baby to, if you need to stay bulked, to breastfeed or do whatever. And it takes a long ass time for your body to like, I mean, you.
I love that term that you use, stay bulked up.
Yeah. You want to stay really bulked up for your kids. I'm bulking up right now. Everyone can see my face.
Is it safe to say that we affected that change by discussing it on Zero Blog 30?
I don't think so.
No.
Listen, the question had to be asked.
It did.
Yeah, but the handbook's been updated. You know how a year-long grace period. The Navy is also, I think, expected to change it. The Army, 6 months. Hopefully they change that. But it was hurting women in the military. It was hurting their careers. So I'm glad that that is fucking changed. Thank God. So.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to say there was a funny tweet that I saw going around because the Air Force implemented their change and their grooming standards as well, where you can have any kind of ponytail basically you want. They're ponytail goofing in the Air Force. There's one dude that's a pilot instructor. He's a pilot instructor for C-17s, I believe. He wrote that he showed up this morning, went to all the different shops. Several of the women pilots had ponytails and taking advantage of the new regulations. And it turns out that none of the planes crashed and mission was still upheld, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's crazy. Yeah.
It does. I will say it is shocking when like an old head like us, like that have been around for a little bit, when you walk into a place and you see something that used to be out of regs and now it's no longer, like where you're like, because you have that innate like leadership like eye when something is out of regs to see it and correct it right away. And it's almost becomes like an involuntary response. And then when the regulation is changed, you're like, huh. Like for us back in the day, remember when it went from if you were wearing desert camis, your sleeves were up all the time. Like desert camis sleeves were up, Woodlands, they were down. When it changed and it was all down and you were like in a training environment or you're in like actually back at your battalion and you didn't have your sleeves up, it used to throw me for a loop.
Same.
Cool. Let's move on to round number 5. This one comes to us from Vietnam. A U.S. ambassador to Vietnam named Dan Crittenbrink just released a rap song to wish everyone in Vietnam a happy Lunar New Year. The full audio can be heard right now. Here it is.
He styles himself as the boy from Hanoi. And Dan Crittenbrink, he's from Nebraska. He's not a big city boy. So just to prepare you for that before we play it. So, not his usual thing.
Time for introductions are at hand. Hi, my name is Dan. I'm from Nebraska. I'm not a big city boy. Then 3 years ago, I moved to Hanoi. Check the calendar, Ted is coming soon. Kanta and Da Nang are in the mood. Suin, suin, oi, suin, dave. Clean the house now, friends are on the way. Grab the Hua Mai and Hua Dao. Get ready to party from Haizang to Ka Mau. Ted in Vietnam is the tops. I love the hot spots and hot pots. I drink cafe soda, not cappuccinos. Bring Lee C with me everywhere that we go. Cash for the kids, blessings for the family, love for my parents and everyone around me. Nam oi bin an, from mine to yours. From my shores to your shores, our friendship endures. U.S. and Vietnam, from now to forever, we're trusted partners, prospering together. Chuc Minh Nam Oi, from your boy in Hanoi. Chuc Minh Nam Oi, spread the joy. Chuc Minh Nam Oi, Cap Moi Noi. Tet, tet, tet Den Zoi!
He's got raps. He's got lines.
He certainly does in the music video. He's sipping on tea, walking the streets with an entourage, which includes bonafide Vietnamese rapper Wowie. And he checks...
Long-time stoolie Wowie.
And he keeps checking a sheet of paper that appear to contain the lyrics, even though it's a pre-recorded video. He's been a U.S. ambassador in the country since 2017, and pretty interesting guy. The words are a mixture of English and Vietnamese, but pretty much calling on the Vietnamese to get ready to fucking party. Clean the house now. Friends are on the way, he says. He shares his enthusiasm for iced coffee sweetened with condensed milk, not cappuccinos.
Shit is good.
Super
Vietnamese
good.
Vietnamese iced coffee is incredible.
And he says of the New Year celebrations, the tops. I love the hot spots and hot pots. So he's really getting into it. Some Twitter users have called it a full-on assault on the art of rap, but others say he seems genuine and sincere. I'm assuming it's intentionally awful, wrote another. Though he admitted he was no rap connoisseur. But a lot of people...
This is just mean. This guy's taking a little step out there. He's doing something. How many times do we talk about the U.S. ambassador to Vietnam? Not very often.
So Dan Kittenbrink, and people are loving it. People have gotten a real big kick out of it. He's older. He's kind of very nerdy looking. He's got glasses.
No, he looks handsome.
And I love people like this who aren't afraid. Like, he knew he was going to get made fun of doing this, but he went and did it anyway. It's cool.
All right,
it's fun.
He probably didn't know he was going to get made fun of, first of all. He probably thought, like, this is going to go over real well. But number two, in his defense, as someone, I'll speak for myself, as someone who's born in the 80s and came of age late 80s and in the 90s, and watching rap music videos on television, those were some of the coolest videos around. So you tell me I get to make my own rap video? Sign me up.
Oh, I would absolutely love to redo the Puff Daddy and Mace video.
Oh, yeah.
Just hanging out, doing all kinds of stuff. Being
well, how
around.
About, you know, Big Pimpin' on that yacht? Come on.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, Vietnam, I would say of all the Asian countries, Japanese food is my favorite, then Vietnam. Vietnam's food is drastically underrated in America.
Yeah. I've never had Vietnamese food in Vietnam like you have, but I've had it here in the States.
Oh, I've never had it in Vietnam. I've never had it in Vietnam.
Well, I like it as well. But also, people always probably don't even think about it now. Some people do, I'm sure, but not many, is how gorgeous of a country it is. Just because the connotation of Vietnam is that it was this horrible, horrible place during the war there. But it's a gorgeous, gorgeous country.
I had that same thought when I was playing the new Call of Duty campaign. Like, when I was going around and flying around in a helicopter in the hills of Vietnam, I was like, this place is gorgeous. I'd love to just drop this helicopter right now and just take a little snoozer on the beach.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Have a little hot pot, listen to some rap music.
Well, if you head over there, give Kittenbrink a call, especially because his name is, I keep calling him Kittenbrink. It's Crittenbrink. But he seems like a good time.
He's also going to have to say, I'm not a cat.
True. Yeah. Very true.
All right, let's move on to round number six. This one we've seen in the last couple presidential I guess, administrations, there's always, from no matter which side of the aisle you're on, when the other president from the other side of the aisle is golfing, everybody acts like it's the biggest deal ever.
Well,
like, I do understand that it can be a problem, and there should be something in, like, done in America where you can't cause, like, the Trump administration's golf bill ended up being like $800 million. That's excessive in 4 years. To have that type of bill is it's obscene.
All right. So first of all, I'll say this. Being the president is expensive. It's no matter what you do as the president, whether it's golf, travel, clothing, food, everything, it's expensive. So every time they say, like, the president did XYZ and it costs taxpayers this, like, yeah, no kidding. Being the president is expensive.
Yeah, but when you go with your own Trump, when you go to your own place and you're charging Secret Service $450 for a water, it's a little different.
Prior to that, Obama golfed every 9 days. Like, so here's my thing. I don't think it's a valid attack because –
No, I don't either. I don't either.
So you go all the way back, like every president the golfs, and like, so what brought this this draft idea to me was this guy John Cooper tweeted, President Joe Biden has not gone golfing even once. Meanwhile, this is February 8th. The guy got sworn in on the 20th. Mm-hmm. He's been focused like a laser beam on producing results for the American people. And I quote tweeted that with, "There's 2 feet of snow on the ground, sir." And people took that very literally, and they're like, not in Florida. Like, yeah, no, I know there's no freaking snow in Florida. He could go golf in Florida. My point is, if the president wants to go golf when you have the most stressful job in the world, go golf. I don't care. And is it going to cost money? Yeah, but so does everything that the president does. Have some been more excessive than others? I'm sure. Bring out the books. I'm sure some of them have. But let the guy relax, whether it's President Biden, President Trump, President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton. Let him relax. So I wanted to do a little serpentine draft of, if you were president and you had to pick 4 activities to do to relax while president, what would you do? And we will start with you, Kate.
Oh. Surfing.
All right. Kate's taking surfing. Chaps?
I don't know. The Secret Service. I guess they'd have to get in the water, too.
No, I think that they would get. Yeah. I think they wouldn't mind that one. You could do that. Because Obama would go to Hawaii and hang out in the water. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you could do that. I would do one of HW's favorite pastime. I would go skydiving.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Because if you want to escape, you have a good solid 4 minutes where nobody can talk to you. That would be delightful if you're a president.
That's a good point. My first choice, this is obviously weather dependent, but also we found it. You can go to warm weather places and do this. Game of softball. Because guess what?
Oh.
There's nothing better than, you know, a quick game of softball, you know, maybe 6 innings, and then sitting down on the bench and having a beer afterwards. Super relaxing. So I'm taking softball with my
But what if pick. Lieutenant that's Kathy comes one. Out and tells you that you're a lousy fucking softball player, Jack?
Well, then that's just something I'll have to deal with. Maybe I'll try to get him on my team.
Yeah. Talking mad shit.
All right, Kate?
Kyle gets to go.
Kyle?
I'm taking a play out of Jimmy Carter's book, and I'm doing some woodworking. I'm not going to change much. I'm just going to keep doing some woodworking.
Love it.
I bet you can get the best tools. No doubt you get a saw. Oh, yeah. Stop.
Yeah, I'm getting.
And you know what you'd be famous for? The president who gave out handmade pens and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, you can sign with your own executive made pens.
See, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't waste the taxpayer money on fancy store bought pens. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
So, all right.
And then I guess I go again, right?
Oh, we're yeah. Sorry. Serpentine. My bad. Go ahead. Yep.
I'm going to go ahead with starting illegitimate wars. I'm just going to go ahead and start a couple. You know, I have a bad day. You know, I didn't load the dishwasher right. My wife yelled at me. I'm going to go start some drone strikes. I don't know, somewhere. I'll just throw a dart at a map.
All right.
All right. big stress reliever. Vein,
mine would be just starting coups, just picking new leaders for third world countries and saying, good luck, 10 years. You know, not my problem after that. I'd probably do that.
All right.
I would also love to take advantage of my position of power, and I would do a lot like President Bartlett did and bring in people like Yo-Yo Ma to have private concerts at night.
Are we drafting stuff right now? Because we went way out of order.
We're just
throwing things out there. It's all fine.
Right, so let's just list a bunch of... I'll just read off my list then, because I made a whole list based on what my draft was going to be. Number one, pick up basketball. Because that's a good, it's a good activity.
Mm-hmm. Make you cool.
And you always look cool when you're out there.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Snowboarding.
Especially if... Did you see President Obama's one-of-a-kind sneakers that he has?
No.
He has Nike, or I think it was actually Jumpman, made him... his own shoe, and it has the presidential seal on one ankle, and then on the other side it has 44.
That's pretty dope. Snowboard, skiing, get up on the mountain, maybe a little more dangerous, but nevertheless, it's very relaxing. Here's one that I put, and then after I thought about it, I realized this was actually probably stress-inducing. A game of Monopoly with world leaders.
That would be good.
Yeah, but Then Putin has hotels on Boardwalk, and he's bankrupting you, and that's just not a good look for anybody.
Malaysia's skimming money out of the 1MDB fund. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. A game of Flip Cup, because who has ever played a game of Flip Cup and had a bad time?
True.
I also think it would be a great time to have a whole squad of folks, like where you can have almost your presidential hype house. Where you just bring in the different secretaries, the ones who have the most rhythm, and you guys just make nothing but viral TikToks. You take 1 hour of the day, it's TikTok dance time.
Yes.
And it's like imagine if Biden was doing the whoa or the bus it baby challenge.
Yes, that's
true. You get
the
young kids involved.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see Biden do the doorway thing where he's like standing there and then the background goes red and it's like a red silhouette and Biden's standing there looking all sexy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With his dick like having like a red outline cock on him. That'd
okay.
be cool.
Okay. All right. I got two more. Just a good old fashioned bar crawl. Fly to a city that has a bunch of bars. Do a bar crawl with the cabinet.
Oh, little expensive. Clinton would have loved that.
Security wise, but yeah. Clinton would have done that for sure.
Clinton would have loved my last idea. Okay.
Buddy, sexually assaulting people in the Oval Office.
No. Right. Yeah. No. Buddy's trip to Vegas. President Biden just rounds up a couple of his buddies and they hit the Vegas for the weekend.
I don't think you need to go to Vegas. I think you bring Vegas to you. If you did like The Office did where they have like that casino night, casino night in the Oval would be incredible.
All right. But it's just not the same. It doesn't have the same je ne sais quoi that Vegas has. So I think there's a lot of activities that the presidents could do, as we've pointed out. And everyone needs to stop clamoring that it costs X amount of dollars or that the president needs to relax. Leave them alone.
I just wish that we need to have a president who is capable physically and like of age to do this again. I would love to see a president do the same types of shit that Teddy Roosevelt used to do.
Yeah.
Like when he had like his group of Rough Riders and he would just go and like survey the different national parks. Imagine how badass it would be to see a president with like chaps on, sitting on a horse, like going through the Grand Canyon. And then next thing you know, the next video of him is standing out in a stream doing fly fishing.
Basically, you want Putin to be the next president.
No. He's too short.
Trout.
No, he's too short.
He's got a barrel chest, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a hockey player.
Yeah, well, he
Gretzky's short.
That's true. All right.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kate, you are getting... Let's get a baby update from Kate. You're 8 months and some change, right?
Pregnancy's 40 weeks. It's actually longer than 9 months. I'm at 34 weeks right now. So...
Okay.
Eight and a half ish, I guess, because it's more than nine. I don't know. I'm struggling. I have really bad back pain. I've been crawling to the bathroom at night, using a cane.
Imagine sitting here for an hour straight. It doesn't help.
But yeah, I'm still going into the office with a cane, which is silly.
You should probably stop doing that.
But it's better than sitting here, because then you sit here and you're like,
oh yeah,
it makes you nuts. So it's like,
well, you could just go for a walk every day, and that would probably
suffice.
Scratch that itch of getting out of your apartment without commuting into Manhattan.
I know. I'm getting paranoid. We get tested at the office twice a week, but I'm starting to get paranoid. I don't want to catch COVID like right before the baby's born, and then have to be alone in labor and all that shit. But
Kate, I'm just going to say it, I don't really see a reason for you to be going to the office anymore.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I'm stupid.
You make your own decisions. You're an adult, but I would say I don't see any need for you to go.
Yeah, but I've hit the struggle wall. I don't know if you can probably tell in this episode. I don't sleep anymore, and I look like a man with a rat on top of my head. Not that there's anything wrong with looking like a man with a rat on top of your head, but it's clear I haven't showered.
Thank you. Our big time man with rat on our head listener demographic would have been coming for our throats then. Glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, but other than that, but I'm getting super excited. All good vibes and all that, but god damn it. I don't know how people have more than one. I'm like, oh, people do this again? Oh.
Yeah, that is bizarre. It's almost like you have short term memory loss.
Yeah. So I'm either like a huge pussy or like.
Now imagine your grandmother did 13.
I don't know how. I have no idea how.
Well, after like 6, you imagine those things just start coming out like Tic Tacs.
Like you sneeze and one shoots across the room, right? Yeah, like Simon Birch.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like when that fucking gingerbread cookie farts on Shrek and all the Skittles come out.
That's exactly, but honestly, that's pretty much it. It's like, I know it's annoying, but I feel like it's all I could talk about. It's all I could think about.
That makes sense, though. Yeah. I mean, you're about to have a human.
Yeah, it's true. And also, Spork update. He's doing great.
Awesome.
A lot of skittering.
Glad to hear that. My kids are back in school now, which is fantastic. Both of them are in school today. It's been so nice to like come in my house after I drop McCartney off, come in here at like 7:45 and just sit in the quiet for a second. Like I just lay back down on my bed and stare at the ceiling and just like soak in the quiet.
I love this morning. You said, hey guys, show's going to be a couple minutes late. I have to drop Kelsey off at school. It started raining. Normally she walks, and then you go, oh, never mind. She complained about when I asked her to hurry up, so I'm just going to give her an umbrella and make her walk. I was like taking notes. I was like, classic, perfect dad move right there.
Yeah, because I was like, come on, honey, I'll take you. It's sprinkling a little bit. I mean, it's barely sprinkling. And she was like, okay, I'll be down in a second. I was like, I have to start a podcast in like 15 minutes, so I need you to hurry up. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's like, Kelsey, come on. Like 5 minutes later, I'm like, seriously, just grab your backpack. We need to go so I can come back and do the things that I need to do. She's like, Dad, I don't even feel like being rushed. I was like, cool. We'll grab an umbrella, take your time, and just show up to school when you want to.
Perfect. 10 out of 10, Dad. Love it.
Love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm. She was like, serious? I'm like, yeah, it's right here. We have 3 umbrellas. Pick one. You can have the red, the green, or the purple, whichever one you want.
Whichever your heart desires.
Yeah. Beautifully done, chaps. Beautifully done.
Thank you. Thank you. Kyle, what about you?
Don't DM us about the science shit and radiocarbon dating. If you already did DM us as soon as you heard it on the episode, go back in there, say, I'm sorry, I'll just go fuck myself, and then don't DM us ever again. I don't care. We've had, Chaps is going to believe in cons. They're going to believe what they want. They're wrong, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was Kyle that whole round. I was just thinking of Kyle. I was like, Kyle's going to have to deal with this. So
whatever. Sorry that we're smarter and trying to educate our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Cons, what about you?
So there was a big story, a big hullabaloo about Bruce Springsteen, first with his commercial from the Super Bowl, with the Jeep commercial that was
out of left field.
I mean, the commercial was just, it was interesting, but it's just weird that out of all the years saying I'm never going to do a Super Bowl commercial, then do one for Jeep. I don't know. That was just weird. But so anyway, he got arrested for a DWI in New Jersey, which on its face seemed really, really ridiculous. Because if there's anyone that would seemingly, get the police to kind of help them out, it would be Bruce Springsteen in New Jersey. You would think he's earned enough that maybe they like not necessarily turn their eyes blind, but help him out. And he got a DUI, and then details came out. His BAC was 0.02. He was riding his motorcycle. Some fans saw him, flagged him down. He took pictures, and he took one shot of alcohol. And then the cops saw him take one shot and get on his bike, and they pulled him over for that.
Firewatch.
Good.
Good. Oh, okay. Good. Oh, good. Good.
But his BAC was 0.02, which is the legal limit is 0.08. So a little ridiculous. And then also,
guideline. You could still be caught DUI without the 0.08. It's just a guideline.
That's all right. That's true. Okay. And then just recently, or actually just last night, I finished watching on HBO Max this 6-part series, The Bush Years, about the whole Bush family and everything that they've done in politics. And I feel like they don't get enough credit for being a dynasty in this country. I think they're in the shadow of the Kennedys because the Kennedys seem kind of a little more glamorous in some ways, despite all their shortcomings. And it was an interesting documentary is all I'm trying to say. So if you're looking for something to watch, The Bush Years on HBO.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah. Two of them are fucking presidents. One of them was a 2-term governor. Then you also have the ones that are in Texas now. Like the grandson is the one of the more powerful positions in Texas as the land administrator. Like,
yeah,
all kinds of
we
shit.
We need another goofy Bush.
Yeah.
Well, I'm working
back
on it.
Back to Larry Flint.
Yeah.
So that's all I got.
Yeah. I don't have much. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. Make sure you check out Barstool Confessions. Also, Kate's interview that she did with Bella Danger was awesome on the Out and About pod. Kate was also featured on Behind the Blog with Kevin Clancy on the Kevin Clancy Show. Make sure you check it out to get a real insight on where Kate, how she got to where she is now. It's an awesome story.
And your Bible, your Confessions has been, that is genuinely funny, ridiculous show. It's a hoot.
Thank you.
Yeah, so check that out.
Appreciate
too.
That. Yeah, check those out. And we'll see you back here next week. It's on the retreat.